Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. This will probably be a short class. I didn't have enough time to prepare way ahead. So we'll just cover as much as I'm prepared for. We had read this verse describing the Kavya Purusha, describing poetry as a living body. And then we have the Kavya man and the different parts of his body. So again, his body is composed of the combination of words and their meanings. The life air that gives life to that body is dwani, or poetic suggestion. And the real soul of that man is rasa. And then we have his qualities, like his personal qualities, character as a person. These are the poetic qualities of sweetness and heroic mood and so on. And then he has ornaments like jewelry on the body. These are the poetic, let's say, figures of speech. There are two kinds, and there are two separate chapters in this book. One for Shabda Alankars and one for Artha Alankars. Ornaments that are dependent on particular words, and ornaments that could, even if you change the words, they work. So they're dependent really on the meaning, not on the particular words. Then there is the style, which is like the configuration of the body, the build, the person's build. He's fat, he's skinny, he's strong, he's weak. These are comparable to the different styles of poetry. Heroic, rather, there are different, what they call, not they call, but they're named according to different regions of the country. It's actually not a very important section. In earlier theory, more importance was put on style. Here there's just some passing description of it, of four basic kinds of styles. And if there's some fault, something wrong with the body of the Kavya man, that like the poetry sounds harsh to the ears, maybe it's technically okay, but it just doesn't sound good, then that's a fault, and that means that he's diseased. The Kavya Purusha is not in good shape. But then explained that if it's only a minor fault, all the good things about the poetry can overshadow that, and we just ignore that there's some minor fault in it. And there's also a further possibility that what would normally be a fault in the hands of a very expert poet can be used for good effect. Something that's technically wrong in expert enough hands could be used faultlessly, used for a good result. Just like you're not supposed to speak the predicate before the subject. You're supposed to know what you're talking about before you say something about it. It's this reasonable logic. First you identify what you're talking about, and then you say something about it. First the subject, then the predicate. But there are cases in which you can break that rule and get away with it, and even to very good effect. So what would be a fault could be a virtue in the hands of an expert enough poet. Not that poets can get away with breaking all the rules using the excuse of expertise, but you can break the rules sometimes if you're expert enough. Okay, then this textbook will proceed by the basic methodology termed Udesha, Lakshana, and Pariksha. This system of presentation originally comes from the Nyaya Shastra. Udalaka in his Nyaya Vartika presents the idea of Udesha. Actually, no, it's there in the Nyaya Sutras of Gotama. That's not inside that they're talking, is it? What? Oh, can you tell him it's a little loud? Oh, he's on the phone. That's okay. Let me just get off the phone. That's okay. He'll get off the phone. Udesha, Lakshan, and Pariksha. Udesha means what? In this context, technical terms, Udesha, Lakshan, and Pariksha. Someone know what they mean? Udesha? Okay, then what's Lakshana? Actually, Lakshanam. Nudu. Well, that's non-technical meaning, but yeah, defining it. I can name something, you know, that this book, you know, poetry has 15 divisions of this, 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 and this. That's nice, but I need to know what those words mean. So the second step is to give the proper, strict definitions, lakshana. Then, third, pariksha. That means you have to take a test? There's a test at the end of the week. No. Not example. No, that's udaranam. What did you say? But examine what? Yeah, you know, check your fingernails. Is they're cut? Yeah, see if the definition... Yeah, if it actually applies in real poetry, do the definitions actually describe something useful, and are they appropriate? Yeah, test the appropriateness of the definitions in real life. No, it doesn't. Does it? Well, in the sense that you're checking it's... Now, application would mean, okay, write a poem. You know, you study poetry, now go ahead and write a poem. That's application. Or, here's some poems, read them and explain them. That's application. But this is just checking in the textbook. The application is when you're done reading the textbook. Then you graduated, you're stamped connoisseur on poetry or poet. You've got your certification, then you can go out and write poems. That's the application. Or you can read poetry. That's the application. But this is still inside the textbook. Third level is show or test that the definitions are appropriate to describing real actual poetry. And we look at samples of real poetry and try to analyze them according to our terms and their definitions and see if it makes sense. That's the pariksha. So it's still theoretical, but it's theoretical dealing with real poetry. What's the use of making up a very elaborate theory if it doesn't actually describe real poems? I'm describing something that doesn't exist. What's the use of it? I want to describe actual poetry. Poetry exists first, and then the theory of poetry comes, explaining it. It's not that first there was the theory before there were any poems. It's the other way around. First, the poets were writing poems, and then they sat down and wrote some theory about it. So the theory has to explain the actual poems. They were there first. So pariksha is testing if the definitions actually are applicable, if they're appropriate to explaining poetry. Yes. But the author of the textbook usually does it for us. He gives us many examples and analyzes them. The pariksha is done by the author. It's not homework. It's done by the author for us. We just, you know, the teacher gives it in class. It's part... Yes? But, that is pariksha, but we don't have to do it. The author does it for us. We just read the book. The book explains it. Yes?
Can we describe Udesha, Lakshana, and Pariksha as naming, describing, and showing?
Well, naming is good, but describing is a little too broad. Yeah. Yeah, explaining, you can explain things in a lot of different ways. One way to explain things is to give them a proper definition. So that's it's too broad a term. Just what was the third one? Naming, describing, and what?
Showing.
showing. I can show my fist. You know, we can show all sorts of different things. That's still, again, too broad. Well, definition. But we mean a good definition. Yeah, lakshanam. I'm literally just mentioning. We could say naming, yeah, just giving something a name is udeshya. But what's the use of the name if you don't know what the name's supposed to mean? Because we're giving technical meanings to names. We can't just take it in the dictionary definitions. Words, the meaning of the words change when they become technical. Okay? If I mention something, that's udeshya. I mention, you know, you dropped your wallet. That's udeshya. But in the technical sense, udeshya means mentioning something for the first time, introducing a term. When I say you dropped your wallet, I'm not introducing the term wallet. You know, this thing that's laying on the floor there with all your money, let's call it a wallet. That's not what we're interested in. We're interested in you might lose your money if you don't pick it up. So the common use of the word udeshya is not exactly the same as the technical use.